Today we have come to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians is really great because, as you know, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Elder Michael Tyler gave us the survey of 1 Corinthians. A lot of problems in the church in 1 Corinthians. Well, Paul visited the church in Corinth, and he had a lot of problems there when he visited. Some Bible scholars think that he was insulted when he came to the church in Corinth, and he was opposed when he came to the church in Corinth. False teachers came into the church in Corinth. And as we read 2 Corinthians, we can only guess what they were like, but we imagine that they were imposing figures. Maybe they were handsome guys. Maybe they were really good speakers. But some of them were turning against Paul. And Paul writes 2 Corinthians almost to defend himself, to say, hey, I am truly an apostle. And as we read the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians is such a wonderful gift to the church, my dear brothers and sisters at Trinity Baptist, because 2 Corinthians, as you read through the book, and Paul defends himself, you can see what a true spiritual leader is, and what a true spiritual leader does. How does he conduct himself? What is he like? And Paul is trying to say, look, this is what we do, and this is what the false guys do. And as Paul defends himself, we here this morning in America in 2017, with the beautiful book of 2 Corinthians, can learn what an authentic spiritual leader is. It is so wonderful and such a great book, because every single one of you in this room select spiritual leaders. Every single one of you select spiritual leaders. This morning, you have made a choice to sit under my teaching. You could have chosen between 25 guys. But you've come here. Was that a good choice? Let's find out from 2 Corinthians. Every single one of you choose to be a part of a church. I choose Trinity Baptist. I choose this church. I choose that church. We all, in America today, get to choose our spiritual leaders. It could be a pastor, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be an elder, or it can be just someone you look to for counsel. Maybe you are struggling in your spiritual life. Who are you going to call on at that moment? Who are you going to call? Maybe you want to go to a small group Bible study. Whose Bible study are you going to pick? Maybe you need counsel. Maybe you need a friend. Maybe you just want a Christian brother or sister to mentor you. How do you pick a spiritual leader? And also, not only do we all select spiritual leaders, but to some degree or another, most of us are spiritual leaders. You may not be the pastor here this morning, but maybe you're an elder. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you volunteer with the youth group. Maybe you volunteer with the children's ministry. Or maybe you simply give spiritual advice to another individual. Many of us in this room are spiritual leaders to some extent. You might be a husband. You are the spiritual leader in your house. You might be a parent. You are the spiritual leader to your children. You might be a grandparent. You are fulfilling a role of spiritual leadership. So this morning we're going to look to 2 Corinthians. Number one, what does an authentic spiritual leader look like? What are his characteristics? And number two, if you have a spiritual leadership role in someone's life, what are the characteristics that you should have? Will you open to the beautiful book of 2 Corinthians and pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would help me to accurately represent what Paul was trying to say. God, empty me of Dave. Empty me of Dave right now. These people that have come into this room do not need to hear Dave's opinion. They need to know what Paul was trying to say to the church in Corinth, and therefore what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to the church in India. So gracious Heavenly Father, soften hearts, open hearts. We pray together right now that we would understand the message and that we would apply the message to our lives. Humble us that we may not resist your word today. I pray for anyone who hears something that they may not like. May they look to the scriptures and say, is that really what Paul said? And may they humble themselves before it. I pray for anyone here today who needs spiritual encouragement today, that the encouragement that Paul gives Corinthians, I could give to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, number one. An authentic spiritual leader speaks the truth in love. An authentic spiritual leader speaks the truth in love. For that, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me, please. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians offers a lot. There is a lot in the book of 2 Corinthians besides learning about leadership. So I hope that you will read the book on your own and gain a lot of the other stuff that's in here. 2 Corinthians teaches us about the gospel, teaches us about the new covenant, teaches us about the Holy Spirit, gives us encouragement in suffering. All of these things are in the book of 2 Corinthians. I've just chosen today to lead you in one aspect. An authentic spiritual leader speaks the truth in love. 2 Corinthians 7, 8. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The Corinthian church had hurt Paul by their conduct. Again, some scholars think that Paul was insulted when he visited the church. But whatever happened, Paul wrote them a letter. It's not 1 Corinthians and it's not even 2 Corinthians. There's another letter that is not in our Bible that Paul wrote them to say, hey, you insulted me, you sinned against me, and he rebuked them for that. Well, the Corinthians received the letter and they repented. They repented, so Paul writes them again, and he says again in verse 8, I know I caused you sorrow by my letter, but I don't regret it. Why, Trinity Baptist? Because godly sorrow leads to what? Repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. When I was in college, I was not living the godly life that I should have been. I was a Christian, but I was not living the Christian life I should have. And my friend Jim sat me down and firmly told me one thing. He said, are you in the Word, Dave? Are you reading the Bible on your own? Are you spending time in the Word? And I said, no, I'm not. And he firmly told me, he said, you will never be the man God has called you to be unless you get into the Word on your own. Never. And the Holy Spirit spoke through him to me, and the Holy Spirit gave me, at that time in my life, uncharacteristic humility. And I listened. I look back on that time, and I can't believe I did. But I listened, and I went home, and I grabbed my Bible off the shelf and blew the dust off of it, and I opened up the book of John. And it changed my life forever. And years later, when I married Julie, guess who was my best man? Jim. He was my best man because he cared enough to tell me the truth. An authentic spiritual leader loves you enough to help you see where you are falling short of the life God has called you to live. Number two, an authentic spiritual leader challenges you to live a life of sacrificial love. An authentic spiritual leader challenges you to live a life of sacrificial love. Paul was in Macedonia, and he was taking up an offering for the poor churches in Jerusalem. And as he writes the book of 2 Corinthians, he wants to talk to the Corinthians about the offering. So turn to chapter 8 and look what he says to the Corinthians about the offering. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Again, Paul is in Macedonia, and he's taking the offering for the poor churches in Jerusalem. So he's telling the Corinthians about that. Verse 2, then in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their own ability and beyond, they gave of their own accord. Paul says, I'm here in Macedonia, and these churches are poor, and they're suffering, yet they gave even more than they could afford. Look at verse 4. Begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. He says, the Macedonian church is poor, and I came to them saying, hey, I'm taking an offering for the Jerusalem church, and even though it was a poor church, they begged us for the honor of participating in the offering. And this, verse 5, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. Paul sent Titus to the church in Corinth to take the offering there. Verse 7. But just as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Praise his holy name. 2 Corinthians 8:24, behind me on the screen. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and the reason for boasting about you. He looks at Corinth. And he says, Macedonia has given generously, even though they're poor. You do the same. Trinity Baptist Church, the authentic spiritual leader calls you to a life of sacrificial love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. This is our Lord's great command, and the authentic spiritual leader will lead you to a life of love, both individually and as a church. The authentic spiritual leader identifies what real committed Christianity looks like in the 21st century, and he calls you to it. He will not let you settle for casual, American, comfortable Christianity. He identifies what committed Christianity looks like in your culture and in your time, and he calls you to it. He calls you to lay up treasure in heaven and not treasure on earth. Number three, an authentic spiritual leader relies on Christ alone. We can see this throughout 2 Corinthians. This is probably the one main thing that Paul teaches throughout the book. Behind me on the screen, 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. You see how Paul points away from him? Paul points away from him. He says, I'm no good. It's all God. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The authentic spiritual leader is humble, knowing that it is Christ and Christ alone that makes him adequate. Let's see this again in chapter 4. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 with me. It won't be on the screen. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Paul says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so the life of Jesus also will be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also will be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Probably the most famous one is chapter 12. Please turn there with me. Great passage from the Apostle Paul. Chapter 12, verse 6. For I do not wish to boast. I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And as he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Trinity Baptist Church, the authentic spiritual leader is always pointing you away from himself and to Jesus. And if he boasts, he boasts in his weaknesses. He boasts in his weaknesses. One of my best friends is a pastor. His name is Tim Cody. You've met him several times. He's attended here several times. He's in a wheelchair. He was in a very, very serious car accident when he was 40 years old. He was in a coma for months, and he's been in a wheelchair ever since. Many of you have met him. And if you talk to him, he will always say, Christ has accomplished everything good that I have done. I have done nothing. It is only Jesus that does it. And that's what an authentic spiritual leader does. That is his or her attitude. They boast about their weaknesses so that God looks good. Next one, in your notes. An authentic spiritual leader honors the Word of God. An authentic spiritual leader honors the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 2:17 is behind me on the screen. And Paul is comparing himself with other spiritual leaders. And he says, we are not like many. We're not like those spiritual leaders peddling the Word of God. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Peddling is the Greek word kapeluo, and it means what it sounds like. It means selling something for money. Selling something for money. The false teachers in the Corinthian church were peddling the Word of God. They were using the Word of God as a way to make money. Paul talks about this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read that one together. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Praise his holy name again. You were born in darkness. Before you trusted Christ as Savior, the gospel was veiled to you. But just as God in the beginning of time said, let there be light, and there was light, there was a moment in your life when God looked down at you and said, let there be light. And you beheld the glory of the gospel, and you were born again. But Paul says, we are not like many peddling the Word of God, and we are not like many adulterating the Word of God. The Greek word is dolo, and it means to corrupt something. It means to corrupt something. Trinity Baptist Church, the authentic spiritual leader does not use Bible teaching as a greedy way of getting rich. And the authentic spiritual leader does not corrupt God's Word. What does that mean? It means you manipulate it for your own agenda. You manipulate it for your own agenda. And preachers do that. They want something. They want more salary. They want more volunteers. They want something that is self-serving. So they open up this book and they prepare a message that will manipulate the sheep to do what they want. An authentic spiritual leader doesn't dare do that. Paul in verse 5 says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Trinity, when an authentic spiritual leader teaches or counsels or talks or leads, it's never about him. Look at chapter 11, and let's do a little bit more on this because it's really important. Chapter 11, 1 through 4. Chapter 11, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, for indeed you are bearing with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you've not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you bear this beautifully. The authentic spiritual leader has one agenda: to lead you to Christ. To lead you to a sincere, pure devotion to Christ, in order that he might present you to Christ as a pure virgin. Your relationship with Christ is the goal of the authentic spiritual leader. Let's do another one. The next one in your notes is this: an authentic spiritual leader is a giver, not a taker. An authentic spiritual leader is a giver, not a taker. You're in chapter 11. Let's stay right there. Verse 5. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. He's comparing himself to the false teachers. Verse 6. Even if I'm unskilled in speech, I'm not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we've made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and will continue to do so. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if the servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. This is very important, Trinity Baptist. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And one way we can see that is that false spiritual leaders disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Which is why you must read the Bible on your own. You must. The Bible shows you the difference between truth and error. And the Bible shows you the difference between a true spiritual leader and a wolf in sheep's clothing. When Paul was in Corinth, he didn't charge them anything. He preached for free. And when he was in need, when he needed food or shelter or something else, he relied on the churches of Macedonia. But the false teachers in Corinth took advantage of the people. Trinity Baptist Church, an authentic spiritual leader is a giver, not a taker. You should be able to look at your pastor. You should be able to look at your pastor and say, without a doubt, this guy is not here for money. This guy is here for me. 2 Corinthians 12:14 is a powerful statement in context. This is a great example of why it's really important that you take the verse in context. The context not only gives it its proper meaning, but it gives it its power. Look at the verse. Here for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Paul uses the relationship between parents and children to teach you about what your relationship with your spiritual leader should be like. He says, parents don't take from their kids. Parents give to their kids. And your pastor should be the same. You should be able to look at your pastor and say without a doubt, this guy is not here for personal gain. He is here as a sacrifice of love to serve the church. Let's do another one. An authentic spiritual leader is forgiving. An authentic spiritual leader is forgiving. I told you that Paul had visited the Corinthian church. And what happened when he visited there? They insulted him. They insulted him. So he left. And he wrote them a letter that we do not have in our Bible. And what did they do? What did they do? They took the man that insulted Paul and they disciplined him. They repented. They humbled themselves. They responded to Paul's letter. And they took the man that insulted Paul, perhaps in public, and they disciplined that man because he was in sin. Now Paul's going to write about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2. Second Corinthians 2:5. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. I'm in chapter 2, verse 6. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, otherwise such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him, for to this end also I wrote, so that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, I have forgiven anything. I did it for the sake, for your sake, in the presence of Christ. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. We preach a message of forgiveness. We worship a Christ of forgiveness. We worship a God of forgiveness. The Christian message is a message of forgiveness. Shouldn't your pastor be forgiving too? Because we live as human beings, because I am stuck in the sinful flesh, and because you are also stuck in this sinful flesh, there will be times when I hurt you. And there will be times when you hurt me. And if you're visiting here, or if you're going to be moving on from Trinity to another church, you will hurt that pastor, and he will hurt you. It's an unfortunate part of living in this sinful flesh. The question is, whoever your spiritual leader may be, pastor, elder, Sunday school teacher, mentor, friend, discipler, when you hurt him, does he love you instead? Does he still love you? Does he still serve you? Does he still pray for you? Does he forgive you? An authentic spiritual leader is forgiving. All of this teaching from Paul is summed up really good in the Old Testament. Because you see, the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament too. And an authentic spiritual leader in the New Testament is also an authentic spiritual leader in the Old Testament. It's the same, amen? Amen. And we look at this beautiful passage in the Old Testament and we can sum everything up. All six can be summed up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Take a look. 1 Samuel 16. First Samuel 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one." Now Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him. We will not sit down until he comes." Isn't it interesting? David, I want you to picture this as a church pastor search committee. David wasn't even granted an interview. In America, we are consumed with external appearance. And that passes down to our spiritual leaders. American pulpits are full of Eliabs. And David doesn't even get an interview. Number seven. An authentic spiritual leader has a heart transformed by Christ. An authentic spiritual leader has a heart transformed by Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 and 12, behind me on the screen. "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart." 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18. "But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. It is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he who the Lord commends." You're looking for a spiritual leader. You're looking for a spiritual leader, a Sunday school teacher, a mentor, a pastor, a friend, a discipler. You're looking for a spiritual leader. There is one question to ask, and one only. This is the most important question. Is he Christ-like? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read the Word of God and as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you would help us to select good leaders. And you would help us to be good leaders to our wives, to our children, and to those under our spiritual care. In Jesus' name, amen.